Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to talk again today about the virtue of meekness. Why? Because it's the way Jesus described himself. And yesterday, we had this wonderful reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. And it's touched on again today in the Gospel, where Jesus exhorts everybody. He says, you know, be merciful, like your Father in heaven is merciful. Don't condemn, or you'll be condemned. The measure with which you measure out will be measured against you. And Jesus is trying to help those who are listening, his disciples, to understand the radically different way of life that he's calling his followers to, a radically different way of life that expresses the life of the kingdom of God. And then Jesus makes the point in the Gospels of saying, look, this is what I'm like. Of course, the Sermon on the Mount is a full communication of the way of life that Jesus is calling all of us to. It's the, you might call the Sermon on the Mount a fleshing out of the first and the second commandment. Love God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The two most important things, Jesus said. In fact, the first, you know, love God with all your heart, Jesus called the first and the greatest thing. It's the most important thing any human being can do, is to follow that commandment through God's grace, through the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's really the reason we're made. It's what a fulfilled life looks like as well. And to miss radical love for God and to put God first, which means, again, living in the love language of God, is if you love me, Jesus said, you'll keep my commandments, you'll follow me. Jesus modeled clearly for us what love looks like. And we're made by God for God. And the only place we'll ever find fulfillment or happiness, peace, contentment, joy, is to be living in that love relationship. That is receiving God's, not just unconditional love, it truly is that, but it's the fiery heart of a loving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, out of which everything that exists has come forward, of the fiery love of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's what's created everything. And God the Father has thought of you, and he's thought of me, and he's created us for what? To enter into that love. And the fall, sin, blindness, slavery, and all that comes from sin, and the fear of death, and the powers of the world, the flesh, and the devil cripple us profoundly in being able to respond to it, to trust it, to live in it. And we'll never be able to really live out the second commandment in the way that is love your neighbor as yourself, the way that Jesus is talking about, because until we know who we are in God, until we know how much God values us, the only way you will ultimately have the right kind of self-love, remember he says, love your neighbor as yourself, that is loving ourselves in God, seeing ourselves the way God sees us, living in an identity and receiving an identity from the Lord that gives us just inestimable value, and to begin to think of ourselves differently and to say, look, I don't have to create my identity. I don't have to make stuff up. I don't have to try to convince people of anything. I am a child of God. God created me. He thought of me. He brought me into being. He's got an amazing, indescribably beautiful destiny for me. And he's helping me understand who I am. And I find the more I listen to God, the more I'm able to receive his love. And then that changes the way I feel about myself. That changes the optic through which I see the world and other people. There's a different lens, and I begin to see people in the world like God sees them. As my heart gets tenderized, as I'm walking in deeper love, as the Holy Spirit is changing and transforming me, no one on the earth is my opponent. No one on the earth is a threat. Instead of living in the disordered energy of the world where, you know, got to get ahead of this guy, everything's a battle of war, zero-sum game, it's either me at the top or this guy at the top, and I'm getting to the top. And it doesn't characterize the life of the kingdom of God. It's a tearing at, it's an anger. So as I read the passage yesterday where Jesus is talking about, essentially, do unto others the way you'd have them do unto you, the golden rule. And the beautiful passage where Jesus describes himself as being meek. You know, again, Matthew 11, 29 and 30, we talked about yesterday quite a bit. He said, take my yoke upon you. So imagine Jesus now in the season of Lent, and you're saying, what should I do this Lent? Like, what does the Lord really want for me to help me grow? Imagine he's saying this to you. take my yoke upon you now. Learn from me. I want you to learn from me. So I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm gentle. In other words, most translations say I'm meek and I'm humble. Another word is lowly in heart. That is so radically different, friends, from the energy of the world. Again, just look at our politics, look at our public life, look at the divisions in the church and the rage and the anger and the canceling, all that energy that's there. Unfortunately, most people, it seems like, or many people, take the approach that the reason it's this way is because of that guy or that woman. It's her fault. It's his fault. And it's rare to have today, famous story of G.K. Chesterton when he participated in, I think it was the London Times, you know, invited people after the war, one of the wars invited people that basically answered the question, what's wrong with the world? And lots of very articulate people gave, you know, long, eloquent answers, and some of them were probably quite good. But Chesterton just used two words. You know, basically, he said, I am, period. G.K. Chesterton. And he nailed it. That's a Christian mind. What's wrong with the world? The human heart. My heart is what's wrong with the world. Jesus knows what's in my heart. Jesus expressed it. He articulated it. What's in the human heart? Envy, jealousy, rivalry, conceit. He said, what defiles a man, what defiles a woman is what comes from the heart. And so Jesus, the prophet said, Jesus is coming. One is coming. He'll give us a new heart. And Jesus is explaining here what the new heart looks like. It's meek and it's humble. And God rewards this. In the world, we think the mighty and the powerful, at the end of the day, win it all. Or they rule it all, right? Well, in this fallen world, there's a fair amount of that happens. But Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the final judge of everything, makes it really, really clear. He said, the meek shall inherit the earth. The proud, the arrogant, the unforgiving, those who dominate others and who walk in this kind of worldly power and domination, in the end, they're going to be judged because they're going to stand before the Almighty One, because His reality is the reality that's going to last forever. And what God's going to crown, He's already given us a look. Who's the Queen of Heaven and Earth? It's Our Lady. She's humble. She's loving. She's gentle. She's lowly in heart. Same with Joseph. Same with most of the saints. Or all the saints, I should say. That's what gets crowned, and that's what's really, really valuable. The hidden person of the heart, Scripture talks about, Peter, the incorruptible beauty of a gentle spirit. The Lord takes pleasure, at Psalm 149, 4. The Lord takes pleasure in His people, and He will beautify the humble. The Lord draws near to the humble. He draws the humble close to Himself. It's the humble that model. It's the humble that show us something about Jesus. So there's so many good passages in Scripture that exhort us against anger and rage and the kind of thing that we're seeing right now. So we're seeing everywhere in the culture. Christians have to live radically differently. And if we're not careful, if we're not living from the Lord and in a very serious way pressing into Him, we're going to look like and we're going to sound like the world. We're going to make a contribution that's only going to continue to fuel in some way the very problem that's going on. There's some really wonderful passages that are worth chewing on here. James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. But everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. That is, it doesn't fulfill His righteous purpose for us. Now we have to remember, Scripture also says, be angry, but don't sin. Anger is an emotion, and it can be used for good or for ill. And most of what we see in the culture is unrighteous anger, anger that just gets released and it seeks revenge and it seeks to attack. It's not the energy that can come from anger that's righteous, like Jesus in the temple, right? When his father's house was being defiled, part of what we saw in Jesus was righteous anger, zeal for God's house. was expressed, and he overturned tables and he drove them out, and that's as it should be. And that's a healthy expression of it. Another passage from Proverbs 15, 1 through 1 and 2, it says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable." Proverbs 16, 32, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." You know, he who rules his spirit, that's a good description, actually, of meekness. Because people think, well, the word meekness, especially guys, that's not one thing most men want to say about themselves, like, "I'm meek," because they have a misunderstanding of what the word meekness means. Here's just a few descriptions of it. St. Francis de Sales says, "Take care to practice well the humble meekness that you owe to everybody. For it is the virtue of virtues which our Lord greatly recommended to us. It says, far from being weak, however, the meek possess an inner strength to restrain anger and discouragement in the midst of adversity. In this sense, meekness could never be considered weakness, because a beatitude taught by Jesus is the original and transcendent synthesis of the Christian ethic, or more accurately and more profoundly, of the spirituality of the new covenant in Jesus Christ." That's what St. John Paul II said. Simply put, the beatitude of meekness is not only a grace-filled power, but a very elevated manifestation of that power. Meekness is strength under control. It's the energy and the strength of a person that's under the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the powers that were given by the Lord to intercede where we need to seek justice, to do a variety of things, we do it in a way in which all of that energy and what we have a capacity to summon is under the rule of love. It's guided by love. And love is just not just a feeling, right? It's more than that. And so love is what moves us ultimately to do justice, to bring about justice when it's needed. So it's not, meekness is not just this kind of mamsy-pamsy, kind of weak, emotional thing. It's anything but that. And Jesus is saying, okay, this is Lent. Okay, I'm putting words in his mouth, but this is Lent. This is the kind of thing I want to help you with. I want you to walk in humility. I want you to learn meekness. And you've got a lot to learn. All of us do. And he wants us to draw near so we can have that as a kind of target during Lent and say, Lord, help me to walk this way. Because boy, it could really help my marriage. It could really help my relationships with my family, with my neighbors, people on the other side of the aisle politically, people in my church. Like, my heart is often just angry or frustrated. And Lord, I want to learn to walk in this grace. I want to be meek and I want to be lowly of heart. I want to look like you. I want to live like you. I want to be just like you, Lord. And so friends, that's what he wants for you as well. And so it's important in this season, let's take plenty of time, carve that time out, shut some things out that you don't need, to get quiet before the Lord, before the Blessed Sacrament, taking up these kinds of passages, meditating on them, and quietly listening to the Lord, and repenting, and bring the things we need to bring to the Lord, to the sacrament, in order for us to walk in the full grace that he wants to give us through his church. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.